Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I have a fascinating guest on this evening who has decided to join us. I'm just checking my Skype connection now. I don't know if my 1, 2, 3, test. There we go. Yeah. You guys can hear me. Sorry. Anthea is a retired New York City policewoman. She's an author. She's written books, including her book called The First Responder. She used to have a show on Blog Talk Radio called After Dark Radio. Her website is www.antheaappel.com. And I believe she's a naturopath as well. Anthea, thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm good. Yes, I'm an animal naturopath and a homeopathic practitioner and a herbalist.
You are busy.
Well, I could be busier, I guess.
So how you been?
Good. I'm in the middle of I do what's called intermittent fasting, and this is like my second day, so I'm
Oh, wow. 2 days with no food.
When you reduce calories, not more than 500.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, it's pretty low, but it's okay. I'm not even hungry.
Well, that's good.
You know,
One of the guys that I work with fasted for three days.
Yeah, I did that once, and it wasn't a problem at all. It was not a problem. I lost 2 inches off my waist, and my stomach went as flat as a board. And I try to get other people to do it too, but they're scared to do it because they're afraid they're going to get hungry and lightheaded and pass out and headaches and so on. But it improves heart health, it reduces cancer risk, and it helps with gene repair, and it resets the immune system. And one of the other benefits for health is its impact on insulin sensitivity, and it teaches the body to burn fat for fuel. And when your body learns to adapt to burning fat instead of sugar as your primary fuel, you dramatically reduce the risk of chronic disease, because a lot of people don't understand this, but fat is not an innate tissue. It's not just sitting there doing nothing. It's constantly releasing hormones into the body, which causes a low-level inflammation constantly throughout your body. And cancer is an inflammatory disease. And diabetes and all that, that's what it all comes from. So when I see the media promoting, like, plus-size models, and have you seen commercials on TV where they have plus-size models walking around? Oh, and then Sports Illustrated, on their swimsuit issue, they had fat models in there. Like, I really don't, unless you have a fetish for fat women, I really don't think your regular normal guy wants to look at a size 16 or a size 18 woman in a bikini, you know, with her belly fat rolling over the top of the bikini, you know?
Wow.
But
so they were in bikinis.
Yeah. So I'm sure most guys are laughing, and I don't know how well those Sports Illustrated magazines sold, but you know, it's feminists are pushing this crap. Oh, I'm beautiful even though I weigh 300 pounds. Isn't it beautiful to me. You look like an unhealthy person, you know.
Is it really the feminists, or is it like a darker agenda by some other group that's trying to destroy our whole friggin' society?
Yeah, well, yeah. Monsanto is, yeah, all those people, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're going to...
You don't want to get into the controversial subjects anymore. I shouldn't be saying
no,
these kind of...
I will, but I will. It's just I've seen so many of my friends on YouTube getting banned. And,
is that what's happening to people?
Yes.
Really?
Even PewDiePie. You know, I don't know if you know who PewDiePie is, but he's like the number one YouTuber on YouTube. Of course, he has something like 55 million followers.
Wow.
Yeah, and he does these 10-minute videos every day. He used to do a lot of video games. And he's directed towards the younger audience. I don't know if you know him or seen any of his videos. He's Swedish. He's Swedish. And mm-hmm. I think he lives in England now. And he did a Hitler where he was pretending to be, you know, doing a Hitler. He did a couple of videos, 10-minute videos. They're comedy sketches, which involved Hitler. And this is all in the papers not too long ago. And some reporters from the Wall Street Journal, I think they were both Jewish, were not amused by his making jokes about Hitler and so on and so forth. I thought they were very harmless. And apparently because PewDiePie is such a very popular YouTuber, he got a deal with Disney and he got a deal with YouTube, and he was making quite a bit of money on this. And so the Wall Street Journal people, the scumbags that they are, turned to Disney and said, how do you like this guy here, you know, making jokes about Hitler and blah, 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 and so on and so forth, and then working for Disney. So as a result, he lost his contract with Disney.
Jeez.
See, these people go after your money. And so he got demonetized, like a third of his YouTube videos got demonetized. And he's
so,
like, well, this is, go ahead.
Did he just have ads on there? Is that what he had on there?
Well, he had ads, and he had sponsors because he was so popular.
Mm-hmm.
People would send video games to him to review.
Okay.
You know, he got little Gibbs, and then he had a Disney, I forget what he was doing for Disney, but he was doing something for them and doing something. I think YouTube has Red, YouTube Red or something, which is like a series that you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And so he lost that contract, and he lost the Disney contract, all because he made a couple of videos where he was just had stuck Hitler in. You know, it was a joke. It was like a little.
You know, the ads can produce a lot more money than people realize.
Yeah, and you know, and I have a couple of videos. I haven't made a video on YouTube in quite some time, and I said I never monetize them. So I clicked the little button and monetized. I had like I think 10 videos, and the ones where I have about 9/11, they were not monetized, but the other ones were. And I'm like, what, is 9/11 a controversial subject? I mean, one was a little advertisement for my book. It was harmless. And one was another one where I went down on, like it was a 9/11 anniversary, and just filmed around the area and showing people what it looked like today. And I think another one was I was invited down to, when they ring the bell down at Wall Street, whatever it's called, and I went down there, and it was dedicated to 9/11 on 9/11. This was a couple of years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, and I was invited down there. And I just videotaped it, and that they wouldn't monetize that. So anything with 9/11 or Ground Zero or Twin Towers in the, I guess, the description was not, I wasn't going to get monetized.
That's really interesting. They, no matter what stance you take or what you say, just poof, no, we will not allow you to monetize that.
Yeah.
That seems pretty extreme to me.
Yeah, if your language, you have to watch your language, you have to watch the topic that you're discussing. Mm. We're almost going to get as bad as Germany.
Well, speaking of Germany and Hitler, you've sent me an interesting link to this,
oh.
The Greatest Story Never Told, and I've been watching those. Hitler, they're like 15-minute little blurbs. And one thing that really stuck out at me was where it says that Hitler attacked Poland in World War II because there were thousands of Germans being massacred by the Poles. I didn't know that.
You didn't? See, a lot of people didn't know that. I didn't know that either. People think, he was just invading countries for no reason. He wanted to take over the world. No. No. After World War I, you had the Versailles Treaty, which was punishment. And what they did was they took German, chunks away from Germany. It would be like we lost the war and they took Alaska away from us, or they took Florida away from us.
Right.
And they gave it to Poland, and also, which was his port, which was in, I can't think of the name of the port.
Go ahead.
I know, but these are important World War II. So they took his port away, and then up on near France, they took the mining, where the part of the territory that was where they had mining.
Austria?
No, it was near France. It wasn't Austria.
Okay.
But they gave it to France. In other words, they were giving France Germany's mining facilities, their coal mines. And then they gave the port and part of Prussia to Poland. And there was a corridor. And Hitler said, give me the Germans back. Just let the Germans come back to Germany. That's the Germans that were living in Poland. It would be like some country takes Alaska and we have Americans there, right?
Right.
And then they start killing the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
What would the president do? Give me back my Americans, bring them up back into the United States. They refused. Poland actually refused. So what was he going to do? He went in to get his men, his German, like anybody would have done. He went in there. To get the German people out. He even offered to build like a bridge over the corridor, so no German would touch the corridor between Germany and Poland. He was going to build a bridge over it, so that the German people could go across and come back to Germany. And they said, no, you can't have that either. And the Polish government was even encouraging the Polish people, not just only the military, but to attack and the Germans. And so many of them got killed. I mean, how much? It was like 50,000 Germans were killed in Poland.
Was it that big? It was that big of a number?
It was a huge number.
I remember the photographs of the horrible mutilations of the carcasses of the dead Germans. It was just horrific.
Yeah, and that's why Germany went into Poland, was to go get his people. It was a small army. At that time, Germany did not have that huge army. And they had the same military might. It wasn't like one was bigger than the other. It was the same might. And then he asked the Soviet Union to come in and help. And the Soviet Union committed atrocities, which were blamed on the German people. I think the Russians, the Soviet Union, killed how many, was it 30,000 Polish officers and soldiers, and then buried them, and then blamed the Germans for it. And it wasn't until Khrushchev, years later, many years later, that they finally admitted, it wasn't the Germans. It was the Russians. We killed them.
Isn't it amazing that we don't know this? Even after all these years, we still don't know this.
And went into Czechoslovakia because the commies were there, but no shots were fired. There was some, special service type of thing, you know, like little spies sneaking in and doing things, a little sabotage here and there. But it wasn't like a special force. He had some minor special forces going in. But it wasn't a full march of an army going into Czechoslovakia. But there was no shots fired.
And the other interesting thing that I remember from these little 15-minute movies, which were really well done, by the way, Hitler offered peace to Churchill many times.
Yes. Did you
and
watch
Churchill
the
turned him down all the time.
Yeah, because he was bought and paid. Did you watch the David Irving talk?
Yeah, boy, now that gets really deep.
Oh, I didn't send you the one on Churchill. Oh, okay, well, Churchill was bought and sold. Chamberlain stepped down from his position because he was ill with cancer. So, I mean, Churchill was not elected. And he was a guy, he came from a very well-to-do family.
He was not elected?
No, he was never elected. He was put in by special interest groups.
Like who?
Oh, it was called a focus group, and it was made up of politicians and Jewish bankers.
Oh, of course. Goodness sakes.
And Churchill was broke because he spent his money like it was going out of style. He lived a very champagne life, and he was broke. And as a matter of fact, he was so broke, he had to put his house up for sale. He had to... and everything, and I forget the names. Someone turned to him and said, "Listen, we'll pay off the house." I think the equivalent was during that time, the 20s, you had the stock market crashed over here in America, and he had stocks that crashed, and he was like $800,000 in debt.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well...
Back then, that was
well,
huge.
Well, yeah, it was $19,000, but you bring it to 2017, it would be equivalent to $800,000 in debt. And so this special interest group stepped in and said, we'll pay the debt, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they wanted to go to war with Germany, and that's who he answered to. And they put him in as the prime minister.
Was it the David Irving guy that said even Mein Kampf isn't really completely written by Hitler?
Yeah. They say, well, when Hitler was writing that, when he was in prison, his friend Rudolf Hess, he dictated it to Hess. And
okay.
So I don't know. I mean, supposedly. Maybe some of his comrades there added certain things.
Yeah, modified things. You know that Hitler had a lot of very positive policies too. You know he was against hunting. Did you know that?
Hunting.
He was against hunting. He was also very much pro conservation of
he was the first to come up with protection of wildlife and parks. Animals had to be, even though he was a vegetarian, but animals had to be humanely slaughtered. He came up with the 40-hour work week, and bathroom facilities and canteens had to be provided for workers. He came up with an anti-smoking campaign, and
you know the economy of Germany just had it boomed. It was amazing.
Yeah, because they got rid of the bankers. Now people, you'll hear rumors like, oh, he was financed by the bankers. Oh, you know what's it? And, well, first of all, you got to realize when he became chancellor, it was like being the president, and he had to deal with the equivalent of a Congress and a Senate, right? He wasn't a dictator. He didn't have complete power. So, yeah, at that time, Germany was being financed by the bankers like everybody else. The Jewish central banks, you know, the Rothschilds. They were financing all of Europe. So,
Do you? Sorry to interrupt you, and sorry to jump topics. We can come back to Hitler because, man, you've done a lot of great research on Hitler. But do you think that the bankers are still in control of everything?
Yes. Oh, yes. It hasn't changed. God. That's why you had to get rid of him, because he came up with an economic system where you got rid of the bankers, which was usury that put everybody in debt. So he got rid of the bankers. He complained that there was too many Jews in power. They were all in the media. They were all in political positions. They were all in everything, publishing, you name it, magazines. They controlled everything and the banks. And he kicked them all out of power. He says, too many. Because at that time, the population of the Jews was only 500,000, about 500,000. But yet, they dominated positions of power. So when he did that, the Jews in America, and especially New York, Schiff and Wahlberg, they declared war on Germany. Did you get to that part in the documentary?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's true. Yes,
They declared war against Germany, and they started banning and any German goods. I mean, if you had German goods in your store got burnt down. They were going in and out of places and destroying German goods, and it was affecting the economy. And Hitler said to the Jews, he said, what do I need to do to get you to stop? And that is where Israel comes into the picture, because the Rothschilds had bought a tremendous amount of property. I think it was in the 19th century. They bought a tremendous amount of property in Palestine, around Tel Aviv. And you also had the Balfour Treaty, which came out of World War I. Do you remember that part in the documentary?
Well, didn't Hitler literally pay for these Jews to leave?
Yes, because they had all this land. They wanted to create Israel. They had all this land in Palestine, Tel Aviv being the center of it, and that was through the Balfour Treaty. That was where the Jewish bankers told Germany, in World War I, Germany was winning the war, and England was losing. And the war was about to come to an end. And the Jewish bankers said to England, yo, we can get America into the war, but you got to give us Palestine. You got to give us all that property. Because I think the British were, that was like a colony. It was a possession under the British Empire.
Sure.
And they said, okay. And so they got the Americans into World War I. The Germans got their asses kicked. And then this Valser Treaty came into being, and the Balfour Treaty. And so during World War II, when Hitler was, said, yo, to the Zionists, what do I need to do? And he said, well, just give us Palestine. Start sending the Jews to Palestine. And that's what he did. It was called a transfer agreement.
Crazy, and, man. I wish this information was out. Don't you? I mean, more people knew.
Well, there was a politician in the Labour Party in England just recently bringing up the transfer agreement. His name is Livingstone or something like that. I can't think of his first name. And he got shut down. People were...
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, he got shut down talking about the transfer agreement.
People are offended by the truth, aren't they?
I guess so. you know, but there are coins. I've seen pictures of a coin that has on one side the Star of David and then on the other side a swastika. He opened a Deutsche Bank, a German bank in Tel Aviv, so that all the wealth of the Jewish people in Germany would all go to the bank in Germany. So everything was getting transferred, all their goods and everything and so on. He wanted to get them all out. He wanted to get all the Jews out of Europe, and he was making a deal with France to send them to Madagascar.
And but you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like nothing has changed, really, has it?
No, no. That's why if you want to know what's happening today, study World War One and World War Two.
I've always heard people, you know, that talked about this sort of thing, and I don't know, I didn't agree, didn't disagree, just kind of always took it in and tried to study it and, you know, kept coming back to it and thought about it. And after what's happened with Trump, I'm totally in the camp.
I think there was a coup that happened. That's in within that White House. That's what I think. A lot of his advisors have been replaced with globalists.
Yeah.
And I'll.
But at the end of the day, aren't they following the plan that Israel has? To get all the land between, what, the Nile and the Euphrates?
Right, the Odin, Yinan, yeah.
That's the best explanation. That's the best explanation that I've heard. It really is. And it's just, you know, what do we do to get out of this mess? I bet they, do you think they've threatened Trump and say, well, look, we're going to kill your family? Or do you think, I've heard stories that Israel has nukes placed in certain cities all over the U.S.
I've heard that too. I don't know how true it is. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's probably the truth. It's crazy. I am just, you know, wow. You know, you keep trying to learn, and then, you know, I would have never thought in a million years that we would be where we are right now with Assad. And here it looks like, you know, Hitler. Yeah, it's almost like Trump's acting more aggressive than Hitler was. You know, it's like he's ready to start World War III.
Well, I hope not. I mean, last week he said he wasn't going to get involved, and then all of a sudden the chemical attack happened. It was like in 2013 when they had the chemical attack, I think in Aleppo. They sent inspectors because Assad said it wasn't me, it was the rebels. And so they sent inspectors from the UN, and they were there for 3 days, and then there was another sarin attack. And the inspectors said it was the rebels. And the rebels, and supposedly, isn't Hillary Clinton was the one who sent sarin gas to Libya and then to Turkey, ended up in Syria? I remember seeing something like that.
Well, I tell you, the whole thing really bothers me because, you know, I used to listen to Alex Jones a lot, and he was a big supporter of Trump. And although Alex is trying to kind of spell out that this is wrong, I think he should be much stronger and more outspoken. Even Roger Stone has really been pretty critical of Trump, which I think is good. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, like it's flipped everything upside down.
It's up to our supporters to remind Trump to stick with what he campaigned on.
Sure.
I think he's being pressured. I think there is some kind of coup going on. That, I mean, Bannon got, well, he didn't get demoted or anything, but he kind of got pushed to the side lately. And I don't trust the son-in-law.
Oh, really?
No. He has
Ivanka's husband? Ivanka's husband or whatever?
I think he has too much influence. I think Ivanka and her husband should just go back to New York City and she continue designing her handbags. She doesn't belong in the White House telling him what to do.
Yeah. It's almost like I'm in a B movie. I just can't believe this has happened. You know, it all seems so strange. I mean, the liberals are like warmongers now. They're cheering Trump because he did this. What? You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I don't understand why. I really don't understand why. And yet the alt-right, the far right, the neo-Nazis, you could say, are upset about it. You know, and the media is like surprised. We don't understand why the neo-Nazis and the alt-right are against, you know, they would think they were going to be the warmongers, and it's not. It's the liberals.
It's a very confusing time.
Yeah. I was looking on David Irving's webpage, and he has a newsletter, and he usually posts what's going on, you know, related to subjects like this. And he
why don't you tell people a little bit about David Irving, about his approach to writing books?
Well, David Irving is a British historian, and he's about 79 or 80 years old now. And when he grew up in London during the war, he was a very young child. And anyhow, when in his 20s, he went to Germany to work in a factory because he wanted to improve his German. And while he was there, he learned about Dresden, what had happened with Dresden. He's like, what? He didn't know anything like, nobody knew anything like that happened. The firebombing where 100,000 Germans were killed, civilians were killed, just burnt to death.
Right.
It
could have been even more, actually.
Could have been. But, of course, a lot of these Jewish committees, they played down and said, oh, it was probably only 14,000. And
Right.
And Irving contacted, he found the police chief who was keeping count, writing down all the families, and he wrote down who was missing, and it ended up being 100,000, and he had the document, because Irving believed, documentation, I want proof. People say a lot of weird things about this and this and this, and they have nothing to back it up, because most historians, especially those who work in colleges who really don't have the time to go out on the field and research, we just go to the library, take out 10 books, and copy from each book, and now that's how they produce their book, which makes the New York Times bestsellers list. But they're repeating the same things over and over from each author, and who's to say that this information is even accurate? I mean, there's a piece of information I always hear every Thanksgiving about how the evil white man gave smallpox blankets to the Native American Indians. And you hear that repeated a million times. Every time you read about American history, that gets repeated. Well, that's not true. It never happened. This whole thing about the smallpox blankets comes from one professor who wrote it in some book, and it turned out all his sources were incorrect. He couldn't back anything up. His sources were all lies. He made it up. Because I started thinking about it. I was reading a book about germs, and someone was talking about, oh yeah, they gave the Indian smallpox blankets, all the evil white men. Oh, and I said, wait a minute, when did this happen? Was it before or after 1865? Well, I don't know, you know. And I said, well, if it happened before 1865, and the reason I use 1865 is that's when Louis Pasteur came up with the germ theory.
Mm-hmm.
Before the germ theory, before 1865, Nobody knew where diseases came from. Nobody knew. They thought it was witchcraft. They thought it was the wrath of God. They thought it was bad luck. Nobody knew where diseases came from. In the 1820s, there was two British doctors who noticed that if you drank water with poop in it, that you got cholera. You know,
really?
Yeah. So they noticed that if you drink poopy water, you're going to get cholera. They saw the connection, but they didn't know why. They didn't know why. And then in the 1860s, there was a Hungarian obstetrician who observed that if you washed your hands and you washed your medical equipment, that infections went down and less women were dying in childbirth. And he said, "Oh my God!" And he went. He would go to the hospital and to the other doctors and say, "You got to wash your hands. You got to wash your instruments." And they said, "Why?" "Because less people would get infections." "But why?" "Because." "But why?" "Because, you know." And they thought he was crazy, and they threw him in an insane asylum. And he was about only in his 40s. He was a young man, and he died in there because one of the guards, insane asylum guards, beat him to death. But anyhow, Louis Pasteur came across his work, and he's like, poopy water causes cholera. Dirty hands causes infections. And he came up with the germ theory. And when he came up with the germ theory, it was like the greatest thing in the world. It was like, oh, my God, this is great. And everybody started going cleaning, right? They kept the they kept the septic tanks, you know, the outhouses as far away from the house and the food. They washed their hands. They washed this. They washed that. Everything got boiled. They went crazy. But what do you think happened? Well, in the 1870s and in the 1880s, in the cities in Europe and in the cities in America, diseases went up instead of down. They said, what the heck is going on here? So we're washing, we're boiling things, we're not drinking poopy water, we're keeping the outhouses away from our water. So what's going on here? Well, it didn't take until the turn of the 20th century for them to discover that there were other ways of transmitting bacteria other than dirt and poopy water. It took until the early part of the 20th century. So when people would say to me, "Yo, we were giving smallpox blankets and..." When did this happen? Because you can't tell me that some cowboy in the middle of the plain somewhere, you know, was up on the latest, you know, studies in science and came up with the idea of giving a smallpox blanket to the Indians. They didn't even know you could transmit the disease that way before the early part of the 20th century, and also the smallpox pathogen dies almost instantly once it's exposed to air. And another thing, too, and in 1797, Dr. Robert Jenner, who was just a country doctor in England, up there and out in the country, he came up with a smallpox vaccine, and that was in 1797. And in 1800, President Jackson ordered all Native American Indians to be inoculated against smallpox. So if we wanted to kill the Native American Indians with smallpox, why did we inoculate them in the 1800? So that's how. So you got to research. You really got to and you got to critical thinking, and you got to break things down, because it just never made sense. And I would ask people, well, when did they do this? When? Before 1865 or after?
You know, back to Dresden, some estimates from the Germans were as higher than 200,000 people being killed.
Well, Irving figures it's about 100,000 because of this police chief making these documentations. He was writing down. He was looking for all the families and so on and so forth. And there was 100,000 people missing. So.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah,
and it was just civilians, and all that was in Dresden with civilians and refugees from other part of Germany would go to Dresden to get away from the bombing from the Allies. And there was injured. They would also transport injured soldiers to Dresden. But Churchill believed in that type of warfare because he felt if you kill civilians, you kill mothers and fathers and sisters and babies of the soldiers, that they would be so demoralized that they would turn on their leaders. This is how he worked.
That was Churchill, right?
Yeah, Churchill.
Yeah, he was kind of a warmonger a bit. Let me switch to.
He was drunk all the time. He was drunk all the time.
Seriously,
I have to send you that clip on David Irving talking about Churchill. It's hysterical. A lot of his decisions were made under being drunk.
You're kidding.
Yes, and he was so drunk. I don't know if I told you this story, but every evening. Or every couple of days he would go on the BBC and give a talk to the British people. But he was so drunk that he couldn't even get to the mic, so they hired an actor who used to be a radio show in Germany called a Toy Hour or something. It was for children. And
mm-hmm.
there was a guy who would pretend he was a sheep. He would... Rah, 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 and he was hired to give the speeches. He could imitate Churchill's voice, and it was him
mm-hmm.
who was giving the talks to the British people. It wasn't Churchill. It was an actor on a children's hour radio program, you know. By land and sea we shall conquer. Yeah, that was an actor.
So Churchill was more of a puppet than anything, probably. If he was a drunk, I mean, he wasn't qualified.
He was.
To do the job, right?
I guess not. He was doing what was told, you know. I mean, he wanted to drop anthrax and nerve gas on the Germans. I talked about this the last time. And his cabinet was like, they didn't want to tell him directly that it was a war crime against the Geneva Convention because they didn't want to offend him because it was very nasty to deal with. And so they said, well, if we do it, the Germans, and Churchill's like, well, we did it in the First World War. We can do it again. But anthrax, if we drop anthrax, it would make Germany and all the surrounding countries where the anthrax would be, you know, the wind would blow it, uninhabitable for hundreds and hundreds of years. Oh, okay, I guess we can't do it.
Jeez. You know, this is kind of off topic a little bit, but I've heard you talk about this before, and I think it's really interesting how Hollywood tries to open up, and I've heard you call it the animal mind in people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? How does that work?
Well, that's the root chakra, isn't it, where our sexuality is?
Yeah, but do they do that?
I think it's going back to our friends, the ones who cannot be named.
Okay.
If you watch that documentary, Weimar, Germany, in the 1920s, was the sex capital of the world.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And
in Germany.
Yeah.
They even had, like, gays and everything. I mean, they were
everything.
Really wild.
The decadency that you see now was going on in Berlin at the time. Okay, and who was in control of that? Who was behind all that? You know who. And
the Jewish
they also,
banker.
Not the bankers, but...
Just Jews?
You said it, not me.
You've been very concerned about that.
Anyway, they were behind pornography. They were behind modern art. Hitler hated modern art. It makes sense, you know, like Pollock.
Right.
I think his work is horrible. They were also writing books, making fun of Jesus. You know, these sacrimonious books about Christianity, books on communism, and prostitution was rampant. And the cabarets and it was rampant. It was decadence, and drugs were you know, it was all out of control. And these certain people were running this industry. So they're now running Hollywood.
But Hitler cleaned that up, didn't he?
Yes, yes. Marlene Dietrich got the hell out of there. That's how she ended up in Hollywood. She was she used to do lesbian shows. She was a cabaret singer. She was a porno. I guess you could call her a porno actress.
Wow.
And she they all left. He when he got into office, he did what was the book burning. Now he wasn't. It wasn't like he was burning Shakespeare and Charles Dickens. It was the books that were being burnt was pornography and books on communism.
That's the other thing that people don't know. And I remember them throwing the books on the fire, and everyone thinks, oh, Hitler's terrible. He's burning all the books. No, he was burning the pornography and the communistic books. I mean, they don't say that, do they? They never say that.
You know, the German people tolerated it. You know, book burning is always a bad thing, but they said, yeah, all right, you know, you're getting rid of porno, okay.
Yeah, so but, you know, they don't tell that in the history, though.
No.
And you don't hear that.
And who runs the porno industry today? The same people. And why, as I was mentioning before, this guy, something Goldstein, he owned Screw magazine. And somebody asked him about... and somebody asked him about why the chosen ones are so prominent in the porno industry, and it says it's to push it in the faces of Christians. You know, it's to degrade the Christian Christianity. That's why they do it.
Do you remember that interview with Diane Sawyer when she was interviewing Britney Spears and they were talking about Britney's breakup with her boyfriend, and Diane Sawyer seemed to say something which triggered an altered personality in Britney, where she got this little girl's voice and she started to tear up? Wasn't that a strange, strange thing? Was that mind control?
Well... probably she had. I mean, all these people have handlers who are told what to do, what to say. I mean, isn't it funny they all have the same political beliefs and they all have the same, almost verbatim, they say the same things about every topic they're going. You have to be a liberal. You have to go with their ideas in Hollywood. I mean, I think Charlton Heston was conservative. And a few others Clint Eastwood is conservative, but
right.
And Mel Gibson.
Didn't Arnold Schwarzenegger do some gay porn and stuff like that too?
I heard rumors of that. You know.
Yeah.
And,
I've heard.
You know, but a lot of these people, they probably have things on them, films or I think that. Epstein person who has a Lolita Allen has filmed a lot of politicians and such in compromising positions. I'm sure a lot of these people are blackmailed.
Well, isn't there also like a Project MK Ultra, which is some kind of code name for U.S. government covert human research operation?
And they always blame it. Oh, it's Nazi science. I'm still looking for documents or someone to discuss that. But I do hear a lot of it comes out of the Frankfurt School.
Okay.
And they all, of course, when Hitler came into power, they all split and left and went to America. And I think they have offices now in Columbia University. And that was all about social engineering, what they can do to influence people, like the hippie movement. Feminism. I think Betty Friedan was part of the Frankfurt School, and that was, I forget what it's called here in America. I think it has a different name. Travis Stock Institute in London. They're it's all about how you can control people through, well, mind control and programming. They knew that there was one guy who was he headed. I can't. There I am with the names. where he headed the Frankfurt School in Germany, and he was saying that trauma will split the personality, and you can control them through fear, and so on and so forth.
Is Madonna related to this in any way? Is she like
They all are. You can't be on TV, mainstream media. Everybody you see in Hollywood who are A-listers, anyone you see there on TV that's prominent, all these celebrities, they have handlers. They have to pull the toll. They have to toe the line, so to speak, and go with what they've been told. They are icons, and people will follow them. Lady Gaga, whatever, they'll tell Lady Gaga, do this, say this, act like this one, this way, that way, in order to get the public to follow them and do it too. And if you don't, that's the end of your career.
Did the CIA at one point put like LSD in water in some city, or do some kind of experiments on U.S. citizens where they use drugs somehow? And have you ever heard of anything like along those lines?
I've heard of that. I mean, they used to spray the New York City subways. I've read about that back in the 60s to see what defective, I guess, biological agents, and seeing if it can get people sick.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and the stuff that our government has even done to us is just astonishing. Wasn't there testing on American citizens where people would be given LSD and drugs and they didn't even know that they were be given?
That would be the hippie movement, right? Remember? You're not old enough to remember that, but I am.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So, people were pushing that stuff, and that was all Travis Stock, Stanford University, Frankfurt School. That was all those things come out of these think tanks like that.
I remember there was some guy, I think his name was Frank Olson, and he was a chemist, but he had been slipped LSD, I guess, by someone in the government. He fell into this great depression and he killed himself. There was another guy who was a tennis professional named Harold Blower or something like that, and he was given a drug by the CIA, and he eventually, I guess, he was a mental patient in some hospital. But
yeah,
I think there's Army experiments too. Didn't the Army do experiments on people? And it's crazy, you know. Very crazy.
But I'm still waiting to find any documents that, I mean, the Germans were good at writing everything down. I'm still trying to read about those documents where the Germans were doing it. I don't see anything. And then they talk about Dr. Mengele and blah, blah, blah. He was a hygienist. This guy, that's all he was. He was a hygienist. He wasn't a surgeon. He wasn't a geneticist. Why would he be doing experiments on people, like changing brown eyes to blue? And he wasn't even, trained. So I don't know too much about him. I'm still looking to hear someone talk about him, because I don't trust what mainstream media says about anything.
I know, I don't either. It's just gotten. I've never seen the media as bad as it is now. It's just completely.
Look at how everybody's bent out of shape because Sean Spicer, at one of the briefings, I think it was today, where he was on about Assad. Oh, Assad is atrocious as Hitler was. At least he didn't use chemical weapons on people. And now everybody's up in arms because, but the 6 million Jews got gas. What are you talking about?
That's a good point.
Now Pelosi wants him to resign.
Oh, really? You're kidding me.
Yeah, because...
Oh, boy, they blow everything out of proportion.
Yeah, all because he said Hitler didn't use chemical weapons.
And there are researchers that say he didn't.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject.
I know that is a very touchy subject.
Very touchy subject.
I don't
in
have
Germany,
enough.
There are 17 countries where you can get thrown into jail for questioning that. And David Irving he spent a year in jail. He's been locked up so many times.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he doesn't deny. They call him a Holocaust denier. He doesn't deny. He just denies the number and the method.
Hmm. Very interesting indeed. Anthea, you know, we've gone a whole hour. Boy, I really enjoyed having you on the show. It's always a pleasant to get a chance to chat with you. Why don't you throw in a few plugs for your books and your websites and all your other stuff?
Well, antipill.com. I don't update it like I should. It's a blog. And then there's catsanddogsnaturally.com for homeopathy for animals. And that's it.
Well, thanks, Anthea. I hope we get to chat again. I'll keep listening and watching those Hitler movies, and we'll try to have you back on before too long. We can finish.
Well, how far are you into that? Up to?
Part 6, I think.
Oh, you're not too
five.
Far. See, I would watch 3 or 4 a day, and I got through it in a week.
Okay, we'll do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.